And so maybe there's something to be said about Wonder Woman, who is popular enough, but not Superman and not Batman.
She's the, out of the Trinity, she's the C member.
Yeah, she, sure.
Bat, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman.
I would say Aquaman's the C member. But I'm bummed. No? Okay, fine. Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Essen. I'm joined by my regular discoursers, Travis Hudson and Andrew Riley, and special guest discourser, Gurky. We're continuing our series on the movies of the 2000s, where we'll be talking about our favorite movies, the most influential movies, and others that are worthy of discourse. I'll start off with, where this year is 2008, and I'll start off with the highest grossing movies. With The Dark Knight being the highest grossing movie at $997 million.
Didn't crack a billion.
Oh, three short.
Yeah, very close. A very even number. Suspiciously even, in fact. The next is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Mm. Kung Fu Panda. Hancock. Mamma Mia, with an exclamation point. So, I'm sorry. Mamma Mia. And Madagascar 2. Madagascar Escape to Africa. Quantum of Solace. Iron Man, Wall-E, and The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. Travis, why don't you tell us about the Best Picture nominees
for the motley collection of movies.
It is.
Alright, so Best Pictures was The Reader, Milk,
Harvey Milk,
Frost / Nixon. I don't know if you're supposed to pronounce the slash, but I did.
The Curious
Case of Benjamin Button. And the winner was Slumdog Millionaire.
So we are going to have some fun, try to guess each other's lists. Anybody who can guess a movie that is the other person has picked as favorite or influential will get a Pride Buck. And our scores so far for Pride Bucks are Paul and Andrew are tied with 10 Pride Bucks.
Yeah.
Gurky has 8 Pride Bucks. And Travis has 7 Pride Bucks.
Still pretty close.
So let's hear those guesses, folks. Let's see what we're going to put out for our Pride Bucks. What are you betting?
So my guess for Gurky is 27 Dresses. My guess for Travis, The Dark Knight. My guess for Andrew is Wall-E.
All right. One quick note before I give my guesses, just looking at the awards. I'm sure this has happened before, but every Best Picture also had its director nominated for Best Director in this year.
Oh, that's cool.
That's like pretty amazing.
Every single one of them. Slumdog Millionaire, like, yeah. And I did not know David Fincher directed Benjamin Button. That's shocking to me. Anyway, my guess for Paul, I've been leading up to the MCU 2008. I'm going to say Iron Man. Mm. Andrew, I'm sticking with my Coen brothers, even though we already hit the one. But I'm going to say Burn After Reading. Seems like one you might enjoy. And I waffled on Gurky's, but I'll go with Twilight.
I think I'm a teenage girl.
He's the teenage girl. We've established.
I thought we've established you were the teenager.
All right, for my guesses, Paul, I concur with Travis. It's Iron Man. Mm-hmm. For Gurky, I'm going off the beaten path with City of Ember. And for Travis, I'm going to pick Tropic Thunder.
Paul already looked at the sheet.
So I think I must be wrong, because you guys didn't agree with my guesses. But, Paul, yeah, you're Iron Man.
But that means we did agree with you.
Well, on this one. But, Travis, I thought this was a good guess for you, but apparently, well, I put The Dark Knight.
Do you agree with Paul?
Oh, you did?
Did
you do Dark Knight?
Yeah, he did.
No, I zoned out. Never mind. Andrew.
Paul's talking.
I'm not
listening.
Surprised at all.
Paul was talking.
I was getting texts. Yeah. I was getting text messages from someone asking me how recording is going. Yeah, so for Andrew, I put Gran Torino.
Clint Eastwood.
That's an old man movie.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, I mean, I have some other ones as options, but yeah.
And Torino sounds like a foreign word, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good guess.
Clint Eastwood was in Unforgiven. All right. Paul, what's your favorite? Right? That's the part.
The truth is, I am Iron Man.
I thought you were going to say, be like, I just loved Sex and the City, you guys. Sorry.
Really good. Do I need to say anything since all three of you decided to pick it for a movie? I guess so. It's great as a standalone movie. Robert Downey Jr. is perfectly cast as the billionaire philanthropist. What was the other thing? Genius, playboy, whatever.
Billionaire.
Billionaire, again. Tony Stark. It's got a perfect mixture of humor and action. And I think underrated, like, there's some sad moments, too. I mean, early on in the movie, I don't think it's a spoiler to say, when, Yinsing says that, you know, he sacrifices himself, and Tony's like, come on, we gotta go. And he's like, no, we gotta come get reunited with your family. He's like, no, I'm gonna rejoin my family. They're dead. Like, and I'm gonna go back to see them now. It's touching, and it's something that sticks with you, and it's pretty impactful because it shapes Tony Stark's life and changes it going forward. He realizes that he can't just be irresponsibly developing weapons of war anymore. He's got to go out and fix the problems that he and maybe his father have made throughout the world. It's surprisingly realistic-ish for a superhero movie. They try to make it as grounded in reality as possible and make it seem like it's possible for a man to develop this iron suit of armor.
Well, it comes down to the arc reactor. If you can build an arc reactor, then the rest of it follows. It's logical that you could do that. The metal is not necessary enough. We'll just add more, but it's too heavy. But there's an unlimited power source, so you're good to go.
And they kind of, you know, gloss past that as being like, oh, this is kind of a magical thing that Tony Stark the genius can make, but whatever.
Well, then, it works. You know, he tried it before, and he rediscovers it, rethinks about it during the torture sequence. You know, he's being waterboarded, and that's what causes him to have the spark, because I can do that.
It's got some good acting. It's got Jeff Bridges and Robert Downey Jr.
Jeff Bridges as Ironmonger is one of my favorite of his portrayals.
Yeah, and going into it, I didn't realize he was going to be a bad guy, and that was kind of the
shock. Because he didn't read the comics. His name is Obadiah Stane.
Yeah, well, I mean, somehow it was still a shock to me. Gwyneth Paltrow's Pepper Potts is pretty well. That was just pretty well. Introduces Agent Coulson, and of course probably the big thing is at the very end you have Nick Fury showing up and talking about the Avengers initiative, but that's to me just icing on the cake, a cake that was already really good. Iron Man works wonderfully as a standalone movie. The Iron Man trilogy works pretty well as a self-contained trilogy of a man who's just trying to fix some of the problems that, you know, he's created in the world and
dealing with the problems that are in the world that he didn't create, but trying to do the good.
Yeah, and changing. Like, Tony Stark from the first Iron Man movie is very different from Tony Stark at the end of his journey, but that's probably for later movies to discuss.
I'll be interested to see what your influential movie was then, because I can see you picking it either way. I guess Andrew doesn't get the point, but yeah. My favorite's The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
You're talking about grounded superhero movies that could realistically happen. Like, I mean, this is the quintessential, like, there's not anything that couldn't actually probably happen. Take stretch for some things to happen.
Maybe Two-Face. That was a little bit of stretch that you could perfectly burn off half of a man's face. Yeah. But sure. Point is taken.
But, like, this is... Yeah. Kind of like your thing. Do I need to say any more? I don't know. Like, this is acknowledged as, like, a masterpiece of film, not even just superhero film, and it had, like, Heath Ledger as Joker was one of the best villains ever, probably, in film.
I mean, there was when
Jack Nicholson.
Actor? Thank you. Jack Nicholson played the Joker in the first Batman movie. People were like, that's a pretty good portrayal. Like, and he's a legendary actor. You're not going to top that. And yet, Heath Ledger came out and said, like, hold my beer.
And a completely different direction as well. You know, they're both the Joker, very obviously, but they're very, very different versions of the Joker.
And you cannot recognize Heath Ledger.
I was going to say, like, makeup. It's a great credit to Heath Ledger from First Night and Brokeback and Don Juan and everything else he had been in before this to then turn into this character. But and then you had to give credit, though. I mean, Christian Bale was great as Batman in this one. I like the message in this movie was the strongest too, about the hero and the villain and who needs, you know, the whole Jim Gordon speech at the end as it, they're like going
he's,
their way.
He's not the hero that we deserve, but he's the hero that we need.
Yeah, like that whole sentiment.
Yeah.
Bringing in, right? It's been a long time since I've seen it, so I can't remember the ending exactly, but like, they start bringing in Robin in this one or the next one?
It's the next one.
It's the next one, okay.
Yeah. What's your favorite Batman movie portrayal?
Are you talking about actor or are you talking about movie?
Actor, mostly.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I like Christian Bale in these movies, but I actually think he makes a poor Batman and Bruce Wayne.
I was going to say, well...
Out of like most of the actors, I actually prefer Ben Affleck, for example, which may be a little bit...
Well, to be fair, I actually have not seen Ben Affleck's Batman, because I haven't seen those ones. But so to me, it's between Bale and Keaton.
Yeah, those are the two, for sure.
I mean, that's probably for most people. I'm surprised you said Affleck. That would be the first one I've heard. Well, but like most people, you know, you're going to toss out Clooney and Kilmer and even Adam West just out of hand, because they were the campy Batmans.
And Adam West as Batman is a fine Batman, but it's a very different Batman again.
I guess you can throw Will Arnett in there.
Kevin Conroy. I think
so, okay. We talk about if Heath Ledger as the quintessential Joker.
Yeah.
The only person that holds a candle to that would be Mark Hamill as the animated series Joker. Mm-hmm. Like that's the Joker laugh.
Yeah.
As much as Heath Ledger did his version. And that's the great thing, though, about... That's kind of the greatest thing about Batman is he's the most... He and Joker are the most malleable that you can... All these different versions can work... Not work together or anything, but like...
They all exist at the same time.
Everybody can put their own stamp on it, and it's still Batman. It's still Joker.
They're working with really Jungian types all across the superhero genre. Iron Man and that, and even here in Batman, you have these generic ideas that people play with, and you can do adaptations of them. And you still say, oh, yeah, it's the same basic character.
But even Iron Man, we'll see if they, when they replace him, will it work as well without Robert Downey Jr.?
No,
as Iron, yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. brought something special.
Yeah, so like that. Yeah, but to this point, like Batman is kind of, you can put whoever you want in the costume, and it can go down to Val Kilmer and George Clooney, but it's still
they were not Batman. They were not good, but they were not. They're still Batman.
Yeah, it's still a version of him. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting to your point, and I'm probably mostly repeating what you just said, but like Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. are kind of inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Jackman and Wolverine, inseparable. Patrick Stewart, Professor X, inseparable. There really is no definitive Batman. Mm-hmm. Like, you can ask a dozen people, and they'll probably get like 3 or 4 different answers, and they're all pretty...
Now, some of that has to do with consistency.
Yeah.
Is that, like, Christian Bale had the longest tenure. It was only 3 movies.
Yeah.
While as Patrick Stewart was, Patrick Stewart was only 3.
Probably the longest tenure.
Well, okay. Yeah. Throwing out the voice actors.
Yeah.
But Patrick Stewart was only in 3 X-Men movies, right?
No, he's in
a lot, I think.
He was in 1, 2, 3, and then Days of Future Past.
Oh.
Then he was in Logan, and that is probably...
That's probably it, though, right?
But he may have guest starred in First Class. Maybe. Okay. Or not First Class. But anyway, he's been at least 5, I think.
Okay. To your point, though, then Logan's been in multiple X-Men movies, and Tony Stark was obviously in.
But I think that's that shows that Batman, the character, is bigger than the actors portraying him.
Yes.
Whereas for some of these other characters, it's hard to separate the actors portraying them from the character themselves.
Yeah.
And even Spider-Man, who you would think would be a similar thing, you could ask a bunch of people who your favorite Spider-Man is, you'll probably get a couple different answers too.
I think Spider-Man falls in a little bit of the same bucket as Batman, where they're more identifiable than a lot of superheroes, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, granted, Spider-Man does have depends which version of Spider-Man. Are they actual web shooters or are they not?
Yeah.
But he still has some form of superpower, whichever version you use.
Looks like Patrick Stewart was in 7 mm-hmm. films for Professor X, and then he was in 4 video games as well. As the voice.
What were
for
the 7
Professor
films?
X.
What do we miss?
X-Men, X2, X-Men The Last Stand,
yeah.
X-Men Origins Wolverine, The Wolverine.
He was in X-Men Origins Wolverine, interesting.
And X-Men Days of Future Past.
And the Wolverine.
Logan.
Yeah, okay, I do remember he was at the after credit scene for The Wolverine. I don't remember him being in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
So we've had some very strong superhero movies and the classic Batman versus Iron Man beatdown, which one is better?
And now Andrew's going to bring up some obscure French film, I'm guessing.
Well, I'm going to go to a very different direction. My favorite film for 2008 is, congratulations, Paul,
yes,
WALL-E.
I knew there was a Pixar movie in there.
I knew there was, too. I went with it last time, but it wasn't at.
Ratatouille is amazing.
Should have switched this one, too.
WALL-E is their best movie, Pixar's best movie, and quite possibly one of the best movies ever.
Sorry, you're wrong. Wow.
You like to cry more. I picked Cars and Ratatouille. You picked the one that you cry at the end. Up, you cry at the beginning. And
yeah.
WALL-E, you cry at the end. Okay. Or near the end.
Yeah.
So, I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong about
it. It's not the best one. No,
it's not the best Pixar movie?
No.
Not the best movie?
No. I don't know. I've seen it like once. Never had interest in watching it again. I'm like, eh.
Okay. I obviously disagree. It's a fantastic movie. So, I don't even know how to go about saying why it's my favorite, other than the fact that the characterization and the story that it tells, you know, people look at it and they see the environmental issue as one of the major points, and of course that's fair, but I really love the humanity that WALL-E brings. You know, he's a non-human character, and he's the one restoring humanity to the humans. They're stuck in their chairs and their devices, not interacting with people. And all he does is come and wave, and people start reacting, and wait a minute, there's more to life than what's in front of me. There's something else out there happening. I need to pay attention. And the fact that he's able, that he has this affinity for the music from Hello, Dolly, something about that just really, maybe that's the old man speaking or something.
Yeah. So he found an old movie and he really enjoyed it. And somehow this appeals to you.
So I really like WALL-E, and, you know, environmentalism is not my big concern, but I'm a huge fan of conservation, and what you see in WALL-E, the reason why it is so bad, is just the waste everywhere, and that is appalling, and so that's an environmental message that I'm quite happy to get behind.
It's also incredible when your two main characters in your movie can each only say one word each, and you still get that much emotional impact out of
the first
WALL-E and Eva being the only words they say.
The first 10 or 15 minutes of the film are essentially silent.
Yep.
And it's astounding.
I think that's probably why it lost me. I like speech.
She likes noise.
I like noise. I like conversation.
And you don't like Gears of War.
It's too loud.
The middle zone.
Yeah.
Just this much.
And I'm sorry about saying you were wrong.
No, teasing.
I just realized after, I was like, that came off really rude. I don't...
Welcome to my life.
I like WALL-E much better than most people like WALL-E. I like WALL-E much better than most people like most Pixar films. It's definitely special to me. Mm-hmm. But I also know that it does play to other people's hearts. I've met some other people who have a similar affection for the movie, so.
WALL-E might be my favorite Pixar movie.
Really?
I think so. I mean, I don't know.
Haven't tried to get the kids to watch it. That's why I said really.
Yeah.
Because of that lack of trying to be like, oh, hey, this is special to me. Let's do this together. Let's watch it.
Well, what Pixar movies have I tried to get them to watch?
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying you just don't like Pixar?
No, I don't know. I don't usually think of trying to get them to watch.
According to goodhousekeeping.com, WALL-E is the number one best Pixar movie.
Well, that
itself.
So good housekeeping, and you
good
agree.
Housekeeping agrees with you.
I'm not entirely sure why Travis decided
to. And that it's like the number two Google result when you search best Pixar movies.
Well, it's settled. You're wrong, Gertie.
Sorry. Good housekeeping has spoken.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm not a good housekeeper.
That's evident.
All right, Gertie, what's your favorite?
You walked into something there. Ooh, Ratatouille's number two, according to
Independent. Ratatouille is also amazing. You know, I think maybe the top three would be WALL-E, Ratatouille, and Incredibles. And Up's so big,
Incredibles.
Too.
So, yeah, Incredibles.
I agree with independent.uk.com. So, Toy Story 2 is their number one.
No.
Ratatouille, then Toy Story. Alright, we could go down this forever.
That'll be a separate podcast.
That'll be another podcast. Best Pixar movies.
Let's go. Duke it out.
There's only 22 of them.
Let's rank them all.
Rank choice voting.
So, my guilty pleasure here is
more like that.
Twilight.
Yes! I liked once you said guilty pleasure. I knew yeah.
I had that picture. I can't believe how. Why did you not pick Twilight for me?
It has 27 dresses.
They don't sparkle, Paul. Not in the same.
I think I've seen 27 sure. dresses like.
Only 27 times. Twice.
James Marsden.
Who?
James Marsden.
Who's that?
Cyclops.
Cyclops.
Oh, he's kind of cute.
Yeah. And he's in 27 dresses.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't even know who he was.
I wonder if you pulled a random, you know, or even split, male and female, how many guys are going to say Cyclops when you say James Marsden?
That's the only person.
That's the only role we know him in versus women are going to know him from all these other romantic movies.
I don't.
Paul is trying to
think I don't know him from
he's a Sonic the Hedgehog, isn't he? James Marsden?
As what?
Yeah, he's the sidekick driving him, I think.
The male.
I haven't seen it yet. I just know Jim Carrey and that they had to redo all the animation.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
To take out teeth. They gave Sonic teeth and the internet broke.
There were several problems with that Sonic.
The main complaint I saw about Sonic was you have like this fastest character in all the video games. And you stick him as the passenger in a car to drive across America. Something went wrong somewhere in this plot.
So you're going to change your guess?
No.
No.
So no. Your favorite movie is
Twilight. For this year.
For this year, right.
To be honest, I was thinking she would say influential, not favorite. But...
No.
Influential is 27 dresses.
Sure it is, sweetie.
All right, so that's all I have to say.
Oh, sorry.
It's a guilty pleasure.
It's a Done. Guilty pleasure. I think you'll find it's a lot of people's guilty pleasures.
It's an incredibly popular movie.
It's very popular.
He's going to be our new Batman.
He is? Robert Pattinson. He's cute.
What? He's filthy.
Wow. What
makes him filthy?
Filthy? That's a
wrong word. His personality or something?
No, he always looks like he needs a shower.
What are you talking about?
I think you're crazy. He does look unkempt all the time.
I mean, Cedric Diggory and...
I was going to say, he's Cedric, right?
Yeah, he's Cedric in this.
I can see Cedric Diggory as Batman. I can't see Edward as Batman.
Well...
Makeup.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, yeah, he's cute.
That's a requirement for Batman.
Yeah. He's got a strong jawline, which is, I think...
It is a requirement for Bruce Wayne.
I think a lot of... Batmans have strong jawlines. And
don't you
want to
dunk him in a bucket of water?
No.
He looks like a... terrible version of Harry Potter there, though.
He does look a little homeless there.
He's wearing a
tuxedo.
His hair is like all over the place. Yeah. He looks like he's half asleep.
But here's the article that's linked to the Batman post. Yeah, Batman post.
He looks
a lot more scruffy there.
Yeah.
He looks like Doctor Who, honestly, or something there than Batman. There you go. That's how far Doctor Who has fallen. All right. Okay. What's your influential
movie? Who's a female right now? Yeah.
So is Thor.
Not yet.
Not yet, but...
soon.
She will be.
Spoiler alert. Okay, so influential. I almost asked before how you all felt about me naming favorite influential the same. Because
I'm okay with it. Do I get 2 points?
Yeah, you're going to get 2 points?
If you're going to veto it, then I had another pick as favorite, but I had to go with Iron Man because it was my favorite.
Clearly your favorite.
But influential is Iron Man. Yeah. Because it kickstarts the MCU, rejuvenates Robert Downey Jr.'s career.
That's literally my 2 points for most influential Iron Man. Yeah. Gave birth to MCU, resurrected Robert Downey Jr.
And, you know, done. My job.
Influential as Iron Man?
Yes.
I actually considered guessing Iron Man for everyone because I figured everyone would put it for most influential.
Triple it up. It's influential.
I put it for most influential, too.
Wow. It's all four of us?
All four of us. I literally considered guessing it for everybody because
I
was like,
that's necessarily
it's pretty much a guaranteed point.
I didn't think that you all would pick as influential.
Somebody,
as well.
Did you guess Tropic Thunder for me for something? So like that was the other thing though. Like that was the same year. That was a double kickstart to Robert Downey Jr. was Tropic Thunder and Iron Man.
Right. I don't know.
I should have gone with it.
Yeah, Iron Man
more points.
Is clearly a very very influential movie because of the entirety of the MCU, but also just the success that it had. You know, it's itself a good movie and kickstarts that, and other The DC Universe has tried and tried and tried and can't get it going. And I think one of the reasons why is that they don't have that starting point where they're like, okay, this is a good movie. We can build on this. Well, Iron Man is such a good movie that they can build on it.
I think I brought this up about Batman Begins, why I chose it influential. The problem is DC decided that that was their influential movie and made all their movies dark. Like, why make your first crossover movie be Batman versus Superman? that's idiotic to me. When, like, Marvel led up to the team and fighting a bad guy, like, the mass audience does not want to see your good guys fight each other. At the beginning, yes. At the beginning of Avengers, they're all battling each other when they're not, when they don't. But that was not the first movie.
No,
though.
I know.
Like,
I know.
They led to that. You can get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't need to start there.
You need some history to show why there might be some enmity there. Why Bruce Wayne doesn't trust the all-powerful Superman.
Or anybody, honestly. Well, but yes.
Because it doesn't trust anybody. Like, he's seen what
he literally has a safety valve against every single member of the Justice League.
Including himself. And that is the Justice League.
So, yeah. Obviously, DC can't get it going. It's this bad decision making, but it's also, I think, that they don't have the movie. Yes, Batman Begins could have been, but they moved away from it. I don't think I disagree with you that that's what they built on. I think that Batman.
Well, I'm just thinking like specifically they tried it with a darker version of Superman, Superman right. Returns, and Superman vs. Batman.
They read the tone, not the universe.
Yeah, they're correcting it with Wonder Woman, Aquaman. Moving forward,
they might get there soon, and maybe Wonder Woman was the movie that they need to jump off of.
Because Wonder Woman was good.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it, but my understanding is that it is both good and, you know, sincere and heavy. It has some gravitas to the plot without being over the top and a downer all the
time.
And
Gal Gadot is popular as an actress, yeah. but even Aquaman, like, he got a Super Bowl ad.
Yeah, you can say she's hot. I mean, we've been talking about nonstop how hot that, like,
the oily men
are. Gerard Butler is and James Marsden. I think it's worth noting, Iron Man, at the time of the movie, was not an A-list Marvel celebrity.
No, because they'd sold off all their A-listers.
Yeah, Spider-Man and all the others.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah, they were the X-Men.
X-Men.
They were all the A-listers. And so maybe there's something to be said about Wonder Woman, who is popular enough, but not Superman and not Batman.
She's the, out of the Trinity, she's the C member.
Yeah, sure.
Batman, Wonder Woman.
I would say Aquaman's the C member. But I'm bummed. No? Okay, fine. But yeah, maybe there's something to be said about you can't really like lead with your big guns, if you will, because I don't know why. Because I guess there's too much of a draw to try and make it as a standalone movie or something.
We're talking an awful lot about DC when we're talking about MCU, yeah. But yeah. I mean, DC, they made a Green Lantern movie. That should have been the equivalent of Iron Man for them. Like, that's a kind of an equivalent tier of characters,
and it had the same kind of feel.
It had
right?
Ryan Reynolds in it, jokes. Like it should have been. Like,
it just ended up being a bad movie.
Yeah, it just was a terrible movie,
and
he apologized for it in Deadpool 2.
And that's why I think that's why another point to Iron Man's credit is in being influential is that if that was a bad movie,
yeah,
how different did the past 12 years look?
We're not talking about it like this.
Like, there's just no MCU at all. Like, there's no all these record-breaking... Like, Disney as a company is probably drastically different.
Well, they haven't bought it, so...
Yeah, maybe they wouldn't buy Marvel. Maybe they don't buy Marvel, yeah. And maybe
and
Marvel's
then they
bankrupt.
Wouldn't have, well, and if they don't buy Marvel, maybe they don't have the money to buy Lucas, and they don't have the money to buy Fox. Like, it would change a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy what could have happened, so... All right, that's everyone's influential?
Yeah, everyone's
it's
influential.
A hugely influential movie.
I think that's the first time that's happened.
That's definitely the first time that's happened.
First time we had more than like two, I think, that's agreed on anything.
Yeah, you and I have been agreeing a lot this time.
Yeah, well, we're right.
True.
So how about some other movies that maybe
true.
Are not quite as influential, but are still worthy of discourse?
I've got four.
Let me see how many I've got.
Four.
Four that haven't been mentioned yet.
I'll say The Forbidden Kingdom.
Not on my list.
I don't think I know what that is.
The Forbidden Kingdom. That was Jet Li and...
I have Jet Li's movies.
Jackie Chan, right?
I
said Forbidden Kingdom very confidently, and then I realized, wait a second.
No, I was going to say, it sounded like a Jet Li movie. I'm just double-checking you. Yeah, Forbidden Kingdom, 2008.
Yeah, with Yellow Sparrow or whatever and everything. Yeah. Mostly just because you have Jet Li and Jackie Chan.
That's pretty impressive, Batman
versus Superman, like, of real life.
But they've actually built up to it at this point.
And they've built up that for, like... But, by the way, did you know that Jet Li's going to be in the new Mulan movie, apparently?
Huh. No, I didn't know.
I think he's the Emperor in the movie.
They have not been advertising that at all.
They really built that up.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen this at all, but anyway. Maybe not a great movie, but just, I still enjoyed it just to see... Jackie Chan and Jet Li in the same movie. And another reason I bring this up is because Louis Yifei, Yellow Sparrow, is Mulan. That's the same actress. The one who's playing, I think it's Yellow Sparrow, whatever. The young female that her parents get murdered, and she seeks revenge on the guy. I don't remember the plot of the movie very well, clearly, but I think she plays...
You remember better than I do. I'm pretty sure I've actually seen this, but I have no recollection of any of this.
Jackie Chan is the drunken monk, and...
As Jackie Chan
often is. And
Jet Li is the bad guy, right?
No, Jet Li is actually she's a bit of a spoiler. He's like a projection of the Monkey King or something.
Is Sun Wukong?
Sure.
Cool.
Like, he's like the... Yeah. He's, oh, wait, I'm sorry. Jackie Chan isn't a drunken monk. He's a drunken master. And Jet Li is like the silent monk or something. And it turns out later on that he was a projection of like some good guy that was trapped in the staff or something. I don't know. But he's not a real person. He's just like a projection that's trying to help him out.
I'm positive I've seen this movie, but I don't remember any of this.
He's force projecting like Luke.
It starts off with
is that it?
A New York teenager like finding a staff.
Yeah.
And then traveling back to ancient China.
Yeah. I've definitely seen that. It's kind
of odd. Yeah.
I have no remembrance
again, of that movie. Movie, not great, but just being able to see those two legends on screen together was fun.
Only movie I have starred that has not already been mentioned is... Well, actually, no, it was mentioned. Somebody guessed it for somebody else. That was Gran Torino.
I guessed it. That was one that I had listed as a possibility for you also.
Yeah. No, that was a good movie.
It was guessed for me by Gurky. I've not seen it, but obviously it's very mimetic, and I'm probably going to love it when I watch it.
Yeah. It seemed you.
Yeah, I think it seems like you too.
Wall-E was another one on my list for you.
Definitely.
But yeah.
Some more worthy from my list, if we want to, or you have more to say about Gran Torino.
No, I mean, I just wanted to bring that up. I'm going to guess it was one of the movies you're going to mention, Speed Racer, because it seems like you mentioned that offline an awful lot.
I'll talk about Speed Racer. Do you want me? I'll mention it now then. Speed Racer is, you mentioned Twilight as your guilty pleasure. Speed Racer is my guilty pleasure. It is a movie that is far better than it has any right to be. You know, you look at this and say, there's no way that's a good movie. But you sit down and watch it, and it's a lot of fun. I love to watch it every now and again. I'll probably watch it once every 2 or 3 years, which is incredible for the amount of time I spend watching movies.
And it's the Wachowskis, right?
Yep, Wachowskis directed it, and...
I don't know anything Christina about Ricci it.
And... I forget the name, Emil.
Emil Hirsch?
Yeah, Emil Hirsch. Plus John Goodman, oh my god, he is so good in everything. He just is a really good actor.
Yeah.
So that movie is again way better.
This is Nam Dani. There are rules.
Yeah, and he comes in and plays Pops.
I don't know what that means, but sounds fun.
Have you not seen anything Speed Racer in your life?
Not really.
I haven't.
Okay, well, watch this movie.
I'm not sure I'm going to do that.
Is it subtitled or?
No, it's
American movie.
It's American movie. It's super garish. Like you go in, and you're like, why are all these colors so bright?
Yeah, don't watch it, Gurky. Actually,
yeah, that's actually a really good point.
It's very loud for in terms of visuals. I think.
Yeah,
Paul should watch it and tell you that it was good.
It doesn't have very good reviews.
No, it has terrible reviews.
40% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's why I say it's my guilty pleasure. It is better.
Twilight's reviews
probably better than that.
It's better than it has a right to be based on all those factors. But it's good. It's a lot of fun.
I know you have other movies, we've mentioned the name before, but we have to... I don't know if anybody has anything extra to say about Tropic Thunder, though.
It was on my list of worthy of discourse. I mean, Tom Cruise as Len Wiseman in one of the greatest cameos. And
what an amazing cameo that was.
I can't get over that it's not a bigger deal. That in 2008,
Robert Downey Jr.
Spends the entire movie not only in blackface, but like with a black scent the entire time and pretending he's a black guy.
And gets the stout lines like, never go full retard.
Yeah, and, exactly. And says things like, never go full retard. And there's this whole like...
movie with Tobey Maguire where they're gay priests.
Yeah, it's like, you look at it and it's like, forbidden love. Wow, this is just like offending everybody.
It's super offensive to everybody, and that's why one of the reasons I think that it gets away with it, because it is offensive on such a broad brush that it hits everybody. So you're like, okay, yeah, this is offensive to me, but I also see that it's literally offensive to everyone else in this audience.
But it's
so it's okay.
It's crazy to me as a resident of Virginia,
and
a resident of a country to the south of a country whose prime minister is Justin Trudeau, where people are getting in trouble left and right over...
Mostly left.
Over black or brown face during a time like decades ago that this is just completely flying under the radar. And there's other examples of it too. I guess like what Ted Danson, I guess, wore blackface at one point when he was married to Whoopi Goldberg. Anyway, I don't want to get off on a politics thing, but it's just.
But we've talked about this offline a number of times, and one of the reasons why they did get away with it is that Ben Affleck, the director, writer of this script.
Ben Affleck was the director of Tropic Thunder? What?
It's Ben Stiller. Stiller.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Like, we're all like furious, like, this is not obviously.
Fact check me. Clearly, I'm not right about that. Ben Stiller. Got it right. Okay. So, Ben Stiller wrote it. He's a starring in it. This is his movie.
That makes far more sense now.
He brings the final cut to the NAACP, says, hey, I'm good. This is what it is. I want to make sure that it's okay. I'm going to run this by you because I'm doing this, and I need to make sure that it's not going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. So, he's, you know, permission seeking. To start with. He didn't do that with similar groups for those advocating for rights for mentally disabled.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons why he gets in trouble on that side of it, or, you know, saying retard got him into a lot of trouble. But because he's able to do it, and also because the movie is poking fun at the idea that this is okay, not actually saying, hey, this is something I did personally, Lazarus Long is, that's the actor's
name.
Kirk Lazarus. Lazarus Long is Highline's character.
Yeah.
Kirk Lazarus is mocked in this movie for thinking he's able to do it. He does it, and he's the butt of the joke. Robert Downey Jr. is playing Kirk Lazarus, not playing the sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Lazarus is the joke.
There's a lot of political discourse out there. I'm surprised that people are willing to make that distinction.
No, it absolutely is, but it's partially, you know, and this is not the case in all of these things. You know, we have the Washington Redskins. And the people who are most upset about the Washington Redskins are white people living in the Washington, D.C. area, it seems, not necessarily the native tribes. But generally speaking, if you have something that is offensive to a group of people, and the group of people are saying, yeah, I'm okay with this, other people are not going to jump on the bandwagon and start saying, no, no, that's all wrong. So if he's able to say to the NAACP, I'm doing this, this is why I'm doing it, this is how we're doing it, and you are NAACP not taking offense, then why should I, even as a very liberal person who might say this is offensive in general, say I have the right to be offended when it's not me that's attacking.
Yeah, Simple Jack is a character. Jack Black plays Jeff Fats Portnoy.
Yep.
Like, there is just so much stuff.
There's some homophobic jokes
from his
account, too.
Well, yeah, because Brandon Jackson plays Al Pacino, and he's calling out, who is it? Justin Timberlake, right? Like, that's the joke that he...
I just know that when they have Jack Black tied up and they're, like, making him detox, some of the stuff he shouts that he's going to do to try to get drugs is kind of over the top. But then there's just pure comedy on it too. We're kind of attacking the hot button stuff. But I mean, there's just like Ben Stiller's acting career in the movie. Somebody left the freezer open. I mean, there's like ridiculous moments that are in there too.
You've been awfully quiet. Not a big Tropic Thunder fan.
No, it's not my kind of movie.
Have you not seen it?
I think I saw it with you. Don't think I liked it.
No, I can totally understand that. It's a funny movie, but it is not for everyone.
Yeah, and I was going to say, as good as that one was as a comedy movie, like, neither Paul or I said Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay was a good movie.
Step down from...
Far step down.
Yeah.
Several flights of stairs down, I think.
Yeah. Do you have any worthy of discourse?
I put Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, we should probably say something about it.
The
Best Picture winner.
Did you guys see it?
I've actually not seen
it. Yes, I saw it.
I really enjoyed it at the time. So Paul knows I have like no memory of movies, but I really liked how it was done, and I just really liked the movie overall. Unfortunately, I don't remember a ton of the details. Surprisingly, or unsurprisingly, I should say.
I think a Slumdog wins the lottery or something.
He wins, like, their Who Wants to Be a Millionaire type thing. And I guess he's accused of cheating, but there's also all these flashbacks to when he's a kid
and he, like,
living
jumps
in the slums.
An outhouse, jumps through the bottom of an outhouse or something, I remember, at some point. Like, as a kid.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, there's a scene where they're filling up water bottles with water and then kind of melting the tabs back closed so that they can sell it to people as bottled water, even though it's like from the tap. And it just felt reminiscent.
Of things you used to do?
No.
Okay.
Of being in India. Ah.
Okay. I was going to say, well, I can't remember if it was... It seems like it was a big deal that a movie like that won Best Picture. Like,
yeah, I mean...
Brown people as the main actors, and it wasn't it a big deal at the time.
So was very, that it was very, very like, Indian. It's a very Indian
movie. I'm pretty
sure
I saw it because of that.
Yeah.
Because Faith's Indian, that she was wanting to go see this.
Yeah. And I think it's not common that non-American movies win.
Well, it was an American movie, right?
Yeah.
No. Oh, is it a Bollywood movie?
I don't know. Well, Danny Boyle was the director, so I don't...
He's British.
He's British.
Or Irish or something, right?
Something.
Yeah, I'm not sure something. Who made it.
I thought it was a purely Hollywood production.
Christian Coulson was the producer, sounds like...
It's got, I mean, very good reviews.
Well, I mean, this makes for good audio.
Well, speaking of producers, yet again, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Best Picture, Kathleen Kennedy, producer. I'm always like...
She's everywhere.
I'm shocked at how many movies she was the producer of for Best Picture, which then makes sense why Disney chose her to helm Star Wars.
So we can forgive her bad movies, such as Episode 8. Hmm. But it's still a bad movie.
Or the retroactiveness of Episode 9. Like, it just seems like she had this stunning track record and then can't control three movies. It still boggles my mind.
Yeah, it's something weird is going on there. I don't think... This is one of those things where maybe we'll get the documentary picture in 15 years about what really went down.
Yeah, maybe. Although, just case of point, like, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, we haven't said yet. Like, I've never even seen it, and I know the premise of the movie.
Yeah, it's not good.
It looks like the production company was a UK-based...
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's not surprising. I feel like the UK has more Indian people in their movies. Like,
they have more Indian people in their country, I think. Right?
Percentage-wise, you're saying? No, there's
a large history between those two countries.
India was a colony,
Chandra,
basically.
What's her name? There's a director out of India.
Chaudhry. I can't remember the last name, but I know who you're talking about. I think so, but maybe.
But, yeah. Anywho, so that was one of them that I wanted to mention, at least. And then the other was Sex and the City. I know you guys all loved that movie. I
actually did wind up seeing it.
Yeah. I mean, it...
For the obvious reasons.
Because you like it. You like...
Mr. Big, Mr. So Big, dreamy.
Mr. Big and Cassandra?
Oh, no, one of the... No.
Charlotte?
Charlotte? Charlotte's... The Charlotte the Hot One?
She's the brunette...
She's the youngest one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's not because she's the youngest
she's
one.
The hot one.
Not because she is, but...
Yeah. I mean, it was a good culmination to the series. I enjoyed the television series, the HBO shows. I'm not surprised that the three of you guys don't seem to have much to say about...
I have not seen any of the episodes Sex and the City. Or the movie or anything that would indicate that it was good, so.
I mean,
wow.
I don't remember if I loved the movie or anything, but I loved the show back in the day.
What was, going back to Tropic Thunder just for a second, what was Jack Black's character's name, did you say?
Portnoy.
Jeff Fats Portnoy or something like that?
Never mind. I was just thinking because it's interesting that Tropic Thunder came out the same year that Sean Penn won Best Actor for Milk. But I'm pretty sure one of the characters that they were making fun of with You Never Go Full Retard was his character in I Am Sam.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Just like a little bit of kismet that like he happened to also be an Academy Award winning role for something else entirely different the same year they were making fun of him.
So speaking of Jack Black, my last movie worthy of discourse is Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda.
In fact, that was if I was considering making that my favorite movie in place of Iron Man, if there was... some pushback about having it both as influential and favorite. Because I really do like Kung Fu Panda. It's a movie that's easy to kind of watch over and over again. You can watch it with the kids. It's got, a good mixture of kind of action and comedy and heart to it as well. You know, you've got...
And some legs, because it has multiple sequels and a TV show. And
there's a Netflix series about it and everything.
And I think because of the fact that it has some heart to it, means like that gave it the legs.
You've got the good father dynamic with his adopted father, and kind of like the secret ingredient is there is no secret ingredient and stuff like that. You've got the betrayal of the Red Panda, Dustin Hoffman's character, and his former apprentice. And yeah, it's just, it's, and the idea that, like, kind of any, the underdog idea that anyone can become, like, the Dragon Master or whatever, and
the most unlikely candidate.
You just gotta, you know, for the longest time, and they really let it stretch out for a long time, you're like, God, this, you know,
there's no
this
way.
Panda is,
he's not good.
He's just, there's, maybe they did make a mistake. Like, they're not gonna flip the switch and all of a sudden have them be a master. And they do it in a believable way. Like, what motivates him? It's the food. And he's still not, like, a super agile, necessarily, you know, that he uses his fat and blubber to his advantage in terms of his fighting style. And it's, it works out pretty well. And, you know, the sequels might not be quite as good, but that first one, I like watching. And good voice cast, too. I mean, I think Jackie Chan's in it. Lucy Liu, I think. Yeah. And a couple others that... I'm forgetting right now.
I think that's probably one of the stronger DreamWorks films post Shrek.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is How to Train Your Dragon DreamWorks?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That's good. How to Train Your Dragon's also good, based on more books, though. Kung Fu Panda is original, I think.
I'm not sure, but that sounds right.
So Travis selected Burn After Reading for me. So that was already mentioned, but I'll mention it again because it's a very good movie. Coen brothers, so you kind of know what you're getting into. George Clooney, they love working with him. Brad Pitt. One of my most quoted lines in all of movies is in this movie, where one of the characters ends up in possession of some information and is trying to sell it to the Russians as intel. She's basically looking to become a spy for the Russians. And the Russians are like, why are you doing this? And the Americans, who are onto this already, realize that she's doing this, and she's trying to sell intel? This is terrible. But she's doing it to the Russians. The Russians? She's going to sell the intel to the Russians? This makes no sense. And at the time when the movie came out, our relationship with Russia was not as fraught as it currently is. So it was differently funny then.
Yeah.
But it's a really solid movie. Couple of great scenes I'm not going to spoil, simply because, you know, the shock value of them is where most of the fun is. Brad Pitt... Angelina Jolie and he were married in this for this film, and she said that watching him in this movie was disgusting for her because he looks unappetizing, you know, in a way that she's Brad Pitt is a sexy man, and she cannot stand to watch him in this film because he looks awful.
He looks like Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, he looks like Robert Pattinson. You know, I'm going to stick by that. He looks better than Robert Pattinson, in my opinion, and I think Angelina Jolie would agree with me.
It's kind of incredible that we. 9 years, I guess, of movies so far. Three men, one woman, and I think we've spent far more time talking about how sexy and hot men are than the actresses.
And I don't think it's me.
No, it's gonna say it's mostly you guys and me, maybe. But
hot, oily men. Gerard Butler, fine.
All right.
Cillian Murphy, all right. Robert Pattinson, no, thank you.
I keep throwing Andrew the Jennifer Connelly bone, and he never picks it up.
Yeah, he doesn't like her bone.
I was not going to say it. All right, one more. 2008 was also the year of Doubt.
I was going to say, what is this movie? It's all over the Academy Awards.
Doubt?
Yeah.
So Doubt is...
That's the Catholic Church one, right?
Yeah, it's a movie about a religious sister who has suspicions about the priest in the parish and his relationship with children. She thinks that it's unhealthy and suspects that it might be sexual abuse happening. But she is unable to find any proof, and the movie is intentionally very vague about the situation. Is it actually happening, or is this just a relationship that is actually quite healthy that is being mischaracterized because she doesn't see all the details?
Is it K-Pax-like, where they never tell you at the end?
Yeah, basically. You're not going to get an answer that you want out of this. It's not a movie for you for so many reasons.
I don't mind intentionally vague endings like that.
How does the church feel about the movie?
I don't think they have a position.
How Andrew's the official spokesman of the Catholic Church on this podcast.
Well, is there someone else here who'd be a better spokesman for the Catholic Church?
No, but I mean, I don't know. I don't like ask you what the official position of the Sikh religion is on things.
But I don't work for...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm also non-religious.
Yeah.
That's why I ask him, because he...
If there is a position, then this one that I may know more of than anyone else. And this is one where there may be a position, but I'm not familiar with it if it exists. I suspect there's no position, because they just are not going to care about things like this most of the time. It's not heretical. It's not spreading misinformation. It's a fictional story. Mm-hmm. And it is a fictional story about important subject matters. So it's work. They may say, go into it, don't show it to kids.
Right.
They'll say that kind of stuff. But if you are an adult with an curious mind and understanding how things can be perceived differently from different perspectives, it's S. Rashomon,
Mm-hmm.
Did they have a stance on Kirk Lazarus's role? In-
Again, I doubt it. However, I can tell you, I do know that the position of the USCCB in this case, they do some movie ratings. It was morally offensive because the content was vulgar, and that's fair.
Correct. They nailed that one.
What's the Catholic Church's position on Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark?
I don't remember. I think it was probably going to be A2 or A3, which is adults. Or adults with some reservations.
Because he's an alcoholic.
And it's a little violent movie.
Yeah.
In the first one, does he even drink?
Well, Tony Stark is a character. Right? Yeah. That's like one of his hallmarks. Yeah. I'll just toss out real quick here at the end, The Wrestler.
Yeah, okay.
Mostly because that kind of changed my... how I viewed wrestling and got much more into reading the stories of the actual people behind it. And everyone... Even the people that run it now acknowledge that it's performance art.
And Darren Aronofsky was their director here. And who was the actor, the main
Mickey
actor?
Rourke.
Mickey Rourke, that's
and
right.
And Marissa Tomei was the actress.
Mickey Rourke was who I was thinking of because he went on, in the 2000s, a very interesting path where he was in Sin City, The Wrestler, and then Iron Man 2.
Yeah, he was the bad. He was Whiplash.
Yeah.
That's all.
Anything else? Okay, that looks like that concludes 2008. Check us out on our Discord channel at discord.io/rampantdiscourse. You can find us on Facebook. We have a Twitter account at rampantdisc. Give us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to us, and hopefully we'll see you back in next year for 2009. Can't stop the discourse.